thank you tonight, Lord, for little Colt, Lord, that he's finally out of the hospital. Two hospitals, Lord, I tell you. And I know how relieved Andrew and the family, how they are relieved, oh Lord. Bring him home safely, Lord. Just heal his body. And speaking of healing, Lord, James and Jimmy, who were in the service earlier but had to leave, Lord, we just thank you for them. Bless James. Lord, help him. And we're just so thankful next week he'll be there at the doctor and they're going to take care of everything, Lord. Everything will be perfect and a perfect success as well. And Lord, we just thank you for tonight. All those that we're lifting up and all the things that you're doing, oh Lord, at this place. I pray you strengthen me tonight, teaching your word, blessing your people. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. We're going to close out tonight with our greatest prayers in the Bible, and we're going to be in three different sections of Scripture tonight, but we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6, a very well-known chapter. And, I'll be teaching we'll get back into the Old Testament beginning the first week of September. So I'll be there and want to be preparing for 2 Samuel. But tonight, this prayer that we're going to look at and then follow along in other areas of the Word, it may not be considered, of course, the greatest or one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. But I assure you that it is one of the most important prayers in the Bible as of what we are to be doing. And I know that you know for the most part that every Christian knows that we are in a real war. Amen? Absolutely. And that there really is a real devil. And we live, as the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this age. 1 John 5:19, remember it says, this we know, we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, the devil. So we know that we live in his territory. Amen? And here's something you need to remember. There is one thing that the devil hates more than anything to happen in his territory. I should say there are many things, people coming to the Lord, people being set free. But one thing in particular is that he hates is for Christians to pray in his territory. He hates that. You see, he doesn't care about all the religions of the world who don't know the true and living God. They can pray. That doesn't bother him at all. But whenever we start praying and prayer is offered to the one true and only God, it really bothers the powers of darkness. So with all that being said, I want to talk to you tonight about, from Ephesians 6 verse 18, about fighting the wrong way. Say that with me. Fighting the wrong way. And so many of us, we fight the battle in our lives the wrong way. And it's not because necessarily that we don't know, it's just that we haven't learned what the Word of God teaches us on how to do that. So if you look there with me at verse 18, it says Paul is saying, praying how many times, how much? Praying always, meaning on all occasions, praying always with all prayer or all kinds of prayer and supplication, those specific requests, if you will, and look how it's done in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, listen, the majority of the church, the majority of the believers, they have verses 14 in chapter 6 here through 17, they have that down. In other words, they've put on the whole armor of God. There's no doubt about it. However, something more is not only needed, it is vitally necessary. And that is right there in verse 18. And although it is not stated that prayer is part of our armor, it is certainly implied, isn't it? Because it's within our context. And here's the thing. If you are not praying, I'm telling you right now, if you're neglected in your prayer time, you're already fighting the enemy who wants to come to kill, to steal, and destroy. You're fighting the wrong way. Prayer is absolutely vital because what does prayer do? It reaches the command post, if you will. It keeps us connected to the throne of grace. Amen? It keeps us connected to the place of all of our provision, the place where everything manifests first in the supernatural before it manifests to us in the natural. So it keeps us there at the command post. and where we find the God who knows absolutely everything that's happening. So let's look at it again. It says praying always. Now that means not just making prayer wherever you are, the every place of your praying, but what it's specifically implying is, man, if you're in the battle, and we're always in a battle, the Bible tells us very clear, man, we need to be praying, especially when we're under attack by the wicked one. You know, the power of prayer, look what it says there, praying always, all kinds of prayer, and look how it's done. In the Spirit, you see the capital S? Speaking there of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who knows the deep things of God. See, the Holy Spirit knows everything. He's with us right now. He's also living in us. Amen? He knows everything that's happening. Now, listen, with all that being said, you know, the Bible tells us about the deep things of God. Listen carefully from 1 Corinthians 2:9. Paul says, "It is written, eye has not seen, ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." You know, I've heard that scripture preached numerous times at funerals, and with all sincerity and tenderness, it has nothing to do with being taught at funerals, okay? Because that's not, you know, this is not what it's about. This is not about the hereafter. This is the by and by. Let me read it again. It says, "As it is written, eyes not seen, ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to who? To us, the church. How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit or through his Spirit. Why? For the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Now listen, whatever we need in battle, whatever we're facing in this life, they're all hidden in God. He has the answer for everything. Amen? You find that by prayer. You find that by getting into the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's all-powerful. He knows all that's going on. And may I tell you something? The reason we need to pray, and the Lord will show us those deep things, is because the Holy Spirit knows the plan of the enemy. Doesn't he? He knows the exact next step he's going to take. And that's why prayer, when you stay in prayer, especially in the battle, then God says, listen, I'm going to show you what's happening. Does God want us to lose? No, he doesn't want us to lose at all. So these deep things of God, they come only by the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. They are undiscoverable by our own intellect. The Bible says in John 14:7 that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You see, there's a lot of things that I can see by the eye, okay? But the deep things of God can't be seen with the eye. There's a lot of things that I can understand by the hearing of the ear. But the deep things of God doesn't come by the hearing of the ear. They're revealed unto us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, if you're in the battle, never ever discount the working of the Holy Spirit or the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit during your battle. If you do, I promise you, you're not fighting God's way. You're fighting the wrong way. The Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. In Jude 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Remember, faith, the shield of faith, is part of the armor. It says, "But praying in the Holy Spirit." You know, sometimes we don't know how to pray. You know, the last two nights I have been in prayer, not that I'm trying to say I'm spiritual or more spiritual than anyone else, but I have been in intercessory prayer for the last two nights. You know, when you start praying about 2:00 in the morning, you don't want to get up at 6:00, believe me, okay? And it's just that groaning, it's not knowing how to pray. It's that just groaning, and that's why in Romans 8:26 it says this. It says, "In the same way the Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit, "helps us." He comes to our aid in difficult circumstances and so forth. It says he helps us in our weaknesses. That's not speaking so much of our physical weaknesses, but our spiritual weaknesses, because we don't know exactly what we need to pray for sometimes. And he says, "But we do not know what we ought to pray for." There are times that we just know that we need to pray, But we just don't know what we need to be praying for. That's why we pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now, listen carefully. It says, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans. You know, groaning is scriptural, and I've been groaning all day, okay? You know, I'm talking about groaning. You understand? Okay, never mind. No, with groans that words cannot express, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's us, in accordance with God's will. Not our will, but whatever God's will is. It says there in Ephesians, remember what it says? It says, be watchful in all of your praying. That means don't neglect praying. It says do so with all perseverance. All perseverance means don't ever give up. Don't be fainting. Don't quit until you get the answer. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 7:7? He says, boy, he says, you know, you knock and you seek and you ask and you keep on doing that. He tells us, and Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, he says, listen, men ought always to pray and not faint, not become discouraged, not give up. So it's that persistent prayer that we continue to do, and we don't pray until we finally get the release. That's so important. Or if we don't do that, we're not fighting God's way. We're fighting the wrong way. God doesn't want that. Now, did you notice what it says in verse 18 of chapter 6 there in Ephesians? It says, look at the object of our prayers. The object of our prayer is what? Come on, you can see that. You can do a deductive Bible study right there. The object of all of our praying, look at it again. Let's look at it. It says there in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. And what is the object of our praying? All the saints of God, all the believers, all the ones that have been set apart by God. And listen, why would God want us to do that? Because every believer, literally, whether you know it or not or believe it or not, no matter how good your day is or how bad your day is, every believer is under attack by the wicked one and his adversaries. He hates the church and he hates the truth. So we need to be praying for all of the saints. We need to be praying all for one for another here, saying, oh, God, be with everybody. See, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, be alert. In other words, keep on guard. Because your adversary, that word means enemy, your adversary, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer, if you will, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking, walks about, meaning going from place to place, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a believer to gulp down, to chew up. He's looking for a victim. He always is. He's never not moving, okay? The Bible tells us, or Peter continues, and he says, resist him. Resist is a military word in the Greek, you know, meaning stand your ground. Resist him steadfast, immovable. And then it tells us how, in the faith, that means the word of God. So we are to fight him. And he goes on to say, listen carefully now. It says, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, meaning all other believers. We need to remember what the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in us than he that's in this world. Amen? But there is that attack. But you have to know how to fight the devil, fight the powers of darkness. They're defeated, you know, but we have to fight them the right way if we're going to keep them defeated and to win in our life. Look at there at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 with me. It's Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong, and he tells us how, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now listen, his might. If we fight any other way, you are fighting the wrong way. It's so vital that we get that. Listen, I don't have anything going for me, but God has everything I need. It's not my power I need, because my power is crazy. I mean, listen, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do, is try to fight him in your own power. or the problem in your own power. No, it just doesn't work. But I tell you what, Satan knows. He knows that he is absolutely no match for the power of God. So that's why it says there, it says, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. In the power of his might. And I'll tell you, there's no one stronger than Almighty God. No one. And so the devil, he loves Christians who try to fight him or get through the territory, his territory, with their own intellect, their own wisdom, and their own strength. Boy, he says, I love for you to fight me the wrong way because I'm going to chew you up and I'm going to spit you out because you're not obeying the word of God. You're not obeying the God whom you say you serve. Are you following me? He knows those things. Now, look down at verse 12. It says, we do not fight, literally, against what? Flesh and blood. Okay, what do we fight against or wrestle against? Against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now listen carefully. This is vital. You have to be aware of wrong combat. I'm telling you, loved one, that our greatest enemy is not what we see, it's who we do not see. And that is so vital that we get that. Another scheme, one of the scheme of the devil, which churches just, it seems like they just memorize it or something. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of his devices, but sometimes I question that. In this verse right here, it tells us we do not fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. We don't fight against each other. And oh, I'm telling you, the devil, he is, what a scheme. He's saying, listen, don't fight me. I want you to fight one another. It works better. Please don't fight me. Oh, no. Don't fight darkness. Here's what I want you to do. To tear apart the light of the world. You understand? That's what the devil does. And so how easily it is the church falls for that scheme over and over, over and over. You know, again, don't fight darkness. Don't fight me. Tear apart the only light of the world, the only city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, the only salt of the earth. Let's dim the light right down. Let's remove the flavor, the savor of the salt. Let's don't make anyone thirsty for God anymore. He says, I just want you to tear each other apart. You know, the Bible tells us about that wounded body. It says in Galatians 5:14, Paul says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. You crawl into your brother or sister's skin, and then you treat it just like you're loving your own body, your own person. And he says, listen, if you don't, if you bite, if you devour one another, beware lest ye be consumed by one another. You see, the devil wants you to take off your armor and he wants you to put on his armor. Gossiping or lying or backbiting or slandering. He wants the church to become the accuser of the brethren. He wants the saints to wear out the saints of God instead of him wearing it out. He says, man, I can take a break. They're just dividing each other up, chewing each other out. Man, let's take a break for a day or two. Oh, no, listen. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 6. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, that protects our mind and everything. And the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is that? Which is the word of God. That is our only offensive weapon out of the weapons there that are the armor that's listed in Ephesians chapter 6. Now listen, that is something that we have to do. And if we're not taking it up, did you know we're not fighting the right way? We're fighting the wrong way. The devil will do anything, absolutely anything, to stop you from taking up the word of God, taking up the sword of God. You know why? Because the devil knows that the word of God is the only true source for all spiritual growth. There's no other way to grow. You cannot grow without God's word. You're not equipped without God's word. The Bible tells us in Timothy that you are incomplete without God's word. Completely. No, the Bible tells. What did Peter tell us? He told us in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word. And here's why, that ye may grow thereby. To grow up, to know what we're to do, to know the God in a better way over and over again. Listen, the devil, the reason he wants you to stop messing or reading or believing or meditating or memorizing the Word of God is because he knows that God's Word, number one, is eternal. Yes. He knows that God's Word is what will defeat him. But he also knows that God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose of which it has been sent. Amen? The Bible is very clear on that. So, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever, the word of God. Jesus put it this way in Mark 13:31. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Satan knows that the 66 books of the Bible are the greatest weapon that the believer possesses. It's the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will put you in bondage. No, he says, the truth will set you free. Sword of the Spirit. Don't you like that name? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now listen to me. Fighting the enemy the wrong way will get you in a lot of trouble. But you know what it really does? If you're not fighting the enemy God's way, then your sword is going to be very, very dull. Because it's not going to be sharper than any two-edged sword, believe me, because you're not using it effectively. And that's how important it is that we do that. Listen, we cannot defeat the defeated one unless we do it the exact way that the exact way that Jesus did to the devil. Amen? Turn in your Bible, hold your place, but turn in your Bible to Matthew, and let's look at it quickly. I know you know it by heart, but Matthew chapter 4. And watch this now. After the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, there like a dove descending down, that voice from heaven which said this, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Look at verse 1 now of chapter 4. It says in Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to heal all the blind people and all the hurting people. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It says, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, what? To be tempted by the slanderer, by the accuser of the brethren, meaning the devil. Think about that. Now, very quickly, I know you know this, but I just want to make sure in case someone doesn't. You know that God wasn't testing Jesus, amen? Okay, no, this is the spotless, sinless Son of God. And he had just said there in chapter 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we understand this temptation of the devil, it's this. Jesus faced the tempter, the God of this age, the deceiver, the wicked one, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. He faced him as man, not the Son of Man or God. Does that make sense? See, Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. Amen? He's the God-man. But when he faced the devil in the garden, in the wilderness, rather, he did so as man because he's teaching us how to do warfare and fight the right way, not the wrong way. Now, watch what it does here. It says that and when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, afterward he was literally starving to death. Have you ever noticed that the devil always comes to you when you're at the very weakest in your life? And he says, and now when the tempter, you see, we've gone from the devil, which is the accuser of the brethren, now we've come to be the tempter. He says, and he came and he said, since, or if, it should be translated since, it says, since you are the Son of God. See, he knew who he was. Since you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. In other words, Jesus, I know you got to be hungry. You're starving to death. Haven't had anything to eat in 40 days. Luke's gospel, I believe it is. I forget the chapter and verse, but I believe Luke's gospel teaches that during those 40 days of fasting, that the devil was tempting Jesus every day, not this at the very end. Now he really mounts the attack, if you will, at the very end when he's the weakest, when he's starving. And so he says, go ahead, make these stones, you know, bread. I mean, you're gods. You're God. I mean, my gosh, does your Father in heaven want you to starve to death? Surely not. Just do this. It's okay to do that. See, did Jesus have the power to send the devil into the next galaxy? Yeah, he could have just said, be gone, but he didn't. Matter of fact, Jesus could have just immediately created the Garden of Eden right in front of him. He could have eaten anything he wanted to, but he didn't. Why? He's teaching us how to fight the proper way, how man fights the wicked one who is already defeated, okay? Now look what he did. He said, Jesus answered and said, he's speaking to the devil, he says, it is written, literally it would be, it is written, and it still stands written, man. Did you catch that word? That's very important. All man, women, every Christian, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now listen, Jesus used the same resources that we are to use. The same one, the exact same thing. He used the word of God. Now, as you've heard me preach many times, we as believers, you know, if you really want to fight the right way, then we have to do what the word of God just taught us. We have to demonstrate the devil's defeat by words, but not just any word. It has to be the living word of God. Amen. That's why it says again, look back in Ephesians 6:17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Rhema. Rhema is a warfare word. Remember, there's two words there in the Greek. It's logos, which means the written word of God, okay, the logos of God, and so forth. This is sharper than, it's living, sharper than any two-edged sword. Then you have the rhema of God, and the rhema of God, of course, is the spoken word, like in Matthew 7:24, when Jesus said, when he mentions these sayings of mine, whoever hears them and does them, these sayings of mine, I liken him to a wise man and so forth. That is the rhema of God, and we need them both. Now listen, the plan of the wicked one is to always keep you away from the word of God. He doesn't want you to have a quiet time. He doesn't want you to read through the Bible. He'll do anything to distract you and stop you from doing that. He'll do anything to stop you from hiding the word of God in your heart. Anything possible. That's what he does. Now listen to me. If you are fighting your battle right now, the power of darkness, if you're fighting right now, if you're doing it any other way, then you're fighting him the wrong way. You know, people ask me, you know, why do you teach through the word of God, Genesis to Revelation? Because that's how we live. We need every word of God, amen? We don't need our favorite topics or our favorite doctrines or whatever. No. We need all of the word of God. That's why Christians should be in church every time the doors are open. So I can read the logos, but it comes the rhema in your heart. And where, in other words, where information becomes what? Revelation, as you've heard me say a million times while I'm preaching. It comes alive. You know, really, see, if the word of God, even though you know it, head knowledge, but if it's not heart knowledge, you know it, but you know, it's like, for example, you'll say, man, I'm really going through it. And then you say, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I feel like everything's falling apart. I just know what I'm going to do. I had a letter. Am I stuttering tonight? Well, have mercy then. A letter from a radio listener and said, I'm falling apart. My whole life is falling apart. And you know, and they say, but I know what God says. But here's the thing, knowing what God says and believing what God says, two different things. See, it's, you can say, oh, man, my whole life, I don't know what's going on, but I know God is in control. I mean, I know that's what it, I know he is, but no, he is. There's no but to it. He really is in control. See, there's a difference from believing the word of God and just having it appear. No, we have to get it into our heart. And that's why we need to be in fellowship. We need to hear the word of God and so forth. We need to hear the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God, Genesis through Revelation. Now, I know you know this, but those four scriptures are the ones that Jesus quoted. I didn't read them all, of course. Where did Jesus, when he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, where did he get those from? The Old Testament. Did you know that he got all of them from one book? He got them from Deuteronomy. Now, how many of you say, boy, Deuteronomy is a book I want to read, huh? No, listen, there's the sword of the Spirit is found on every page. And they're ours. And that's why we need to know what to do. We need to get that into our hearts. Now, very quickly, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope I'm right. I am right. Thank God. Never like making a mistake in front of a crowd of people, right? Now, watch this now. This is very important. Paul is under attack by the false teachers. He's under attack about his authority. So part of chapter 10 has to do with his spiritual authority, but it begins with the warfare that he's going through and how he handles the warfare now, because they have a smear campaign against the Apostle Paul. Now watch this battle plan. Look at verse 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1, I mean. Now I, Paul, myself, I'm begging you or pleading with you, and watch how he does it, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I'm lowly among you, but absent I am bold toward you. One of the greatest things we can remember if we're going to fight the enemy the right way is we need to do it in the spirit of meekness. We don't want to ever get the big head. Are you following me? We want to have that spirit, the lowly spirit of Christ operating in our hearts. We want to walk by faith and so forth. And that's exactly what Paul was doing right here. And he says, I'm imitating the Lord. Like Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly. You can come unto me, the Lord said. So here, you know, the false teachers, if we kept reading, they were calling, you know, him kind of a wimpy Christian, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And Paul says, well, you know what? Look what you think that about me. He says, I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, don't force me to come down there right now and tell you who I, and show you who I really am, okay? He says, right now I'm walking this meekness. That's the key to our battle. Paul wasn't throwing his weight around with the people at Corinth. You understand? He wasn't some religious celebrity or any of those things. No, no. He looked past all the flesh and the problems and the accusations, and he knew who he was fighting against. He was fighting against the wicked one, right? Now watch this in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. See, the flesh is the weakest area of our life. Don't fight the devil with that. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Why? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen carefully. If you think, or if you even try, if you are fighting the enemy in your flesh, I promise you, in Jesus' name, loved one, you are fighting the wrong way. And let me tell you why. Satan loves the flesh. He feeds off the flesh. He uses the flesh, doesn't he? Come on. No, no, we can't do it. If we have heavenly weapons, then we must use them, because you cannot fight spiritual battles without or with carnal weapons, fleshly weapons. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. You're fighting the wrong way. Our weapons, as said, are not carnal. Human weapons cannot fight the powers of darkness. Not only that, you know, our own intellect and our own humanity and human weapons, will they ever liberate anyone from darkness? No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Again, they're not of this world, but they're mighty in God for the destroying or pulling down of strongholds, which is literally a fortress. Now, the weapons here, Paul doesn't list them. We know one is prayer. we know one has to be love. You know, we know that walking and being led by the Spirit is another one. But we know that the main one has to be the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because it's our greatest weapon. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think, and I'm not being critical of any church or any pastor. I mean, I'm not blind. I can see the things that are happening in our country, especially in the church, as any of us can. But why do you think that the Word of God is so watered down today? Why? That, you know, like these sissy sermons, you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, why is it so watered down? Well, who hates the Word of God? The devil. He knows that if he can get everybody in America to start listening to sissy sermons and, you know, and skipping over the stuff that's really important, in other words, he knows that he can defeat the church. Even though the gates of hell will not prevail, I know that, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? We have to have the Word of God. Satan is a deceiver, and here's what he's doing, what he's trying to do. He is trying with all of his might to remove the only weapon he knows that will keep him in his place, and that is the living Word of God that we use. We just demonstrate his defeat with the Word of God. Now, why? Because where does the devil usually attack us at? In the mind. In the mind is so important that we know the Word of God. Again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. Mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds in context has to do with wrong thinking or wrong thoughts. In other words, believing things that are not true in our mind. We need to pull down any type of thinking, Christian. You're not fighting the right way. If you're not doing this, we must pull down any type of thinking that exalts itself above the written Word of God. Yeah. We pull it down and say, no, that's not what my Father says. Now listen, you can't, and no believer can pull down the Satan's lies unless you know the truth of Scripture. That means you need to be in your Bibles, amen? Yeah. You know, it's okay to mark in your Bible. I talk to somebody, I can't mark in my Bible. I said, why? Oh, no, it's a sin. I said, no, mark it up. Here, let me do it for you. I didn't really do that, but I did it with my finger, you know. Just, you know. No, listen. No. You have to know the truth of the Bible. Casting down, it says, those arguments. The King James says those imaginations, false doctrine, you know, salvation by works, all that other nonsense. No, it says casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself, here it is, against the knowledge of God. God's word is true. Satan is the father of lies. He'll tell you every day. Think of all the thoughts that come into your mind every day. Think of all the lies that try to come into your mind every day. You know, think of all the feelings that are attached to all the thoughts that you think every day. Man, listen, we have to do what God says in His Word. We have to destroy those things. And we do so by taking every thought captive. We capture that thought and say, whoa, where did that come from? That's not from God. That's not in God's Word. God didn't give me the spirit of fear. Yes. Amen? I don't have that. He'd give me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm not going crazy. The cheese didn't slip off the cracker. Yes. It's hanging on. No, do you understand? That thought comes and you're not going to make it. Who told you that? Who told you? God's not going to tell you that. God's not going to tell you you're not going to make it. You're following Him. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. No, the devil, he is a liar. And you know, God says, I want you to take every thought captive. Now listen, thoughts contain what? Words. Hello. Thoughts contain what? Words. Now, are thoughts powerful? Oh my gosh. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 27:3? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. In other words, in essence of what a person really thinks about himself and other things, well, there you are. There he is. Thoughts are powerful, man. Boy, they can affect you. The words can build you up. Words can tear you down. Words can produce fear in your heart. Amen? Yes. You go to work and somebody says, well, there's pink slips everywhere. You know? I mean, I was hoping I got mine this week, but it wasn't in there. Now I have to deal with depression. No, listen. We must cast down those lies. You know why? Because if we don't cast down those imaginations, if we don't take those lies captive and grab them, they will then begin to operate in your mind. It's just that simple. They're going to be a stronghold. They're right there. Those thoughts, they just come through every day. And you've heard me teach this before. You know, it's like a thought is just a little bitty string and it's hanging down the center of your mind. If you don't get rid of that lie, if you don't cast that thing out, what happens the next day? The devil will lie to you again and puts another string around that string. And then after about a month of all that strings coming down, you no longer have a string. You have a rope. You have a stronghold. A stronghold is a house built on thoughts. Thoughts are so, gosh, they're so powerful. Did you know they can paralyze you? They can even make you sick. Thoughts from the wicked one. That's why, what does the Bible tell us? It says in Philippians, it says, think on these things. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure. Amen? Yeah. It says think. That's not an option. Think of them. Think of them in your life. Meditate on God's word. Get God's word into you. And that's what we need to do. You see, the devil is a lie. I believe every Christian hears every day, God doesn't love you. It just comes through. You know what I mean? That is a lie. You take that lie, and what do you do with that lie? You replace it with the truth. Romans 5:8. But God proves, or God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here comes that thought. You're not going to make it. You know, your provision. You know what I mean? No, you replace that. You say, I'm bringing you into captivity, man. You're not going to camp out in my mind. You're not going to torment me for one second. I have the mind of Christ, and he's the only one that has the right to form what I think, not the world and not any lie from the world. Amen? It says in Philippians 4:19, and God shall supply what? All my need, according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No, listen, loved one. Well, you have a look at you now. You're not going to make it. And the reason you're not is because just look at what you've done. Philippians 1:6. Satan, I've taken that lie out of my mind. He who began a good work in me. I'm a good work. He who began a good work in me will what? Complete it. See it through. Bring it to completion. That's what that word means. Until the very day of Christ. In other words, to the very end of your life. Listen. A Christian, if your mind is not renewed to the Word of God, then your mind is unarmed and you are wide open for attack because you don't know what you believe. You may just believe what other people teach you or what I say. No, no, no. You have to have it for yourself. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed, fashioned, do not be molded, conform to this world, the way the world thinks, but be renewed in your mind. Be renewed. In other words, you do that by getting into God's word. The renewal of your mind, the word of God is the basis of all transformation in the life of the believer. It's the Word of God activated by the Holy Spirit of God that becomes the Rhema, that living Word that you go, I know what God says is alive in my heart. I may see this whole world fall down around me, but my God will never fail me. Do you understand? We have to take those thoughts and we have to do it and take it captive. But unless we know the truth, we cannot use the truth. You can't do it. It goes on. Let me just finish here. It says, and bringing every thought into captivity, I love this, to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Taking that word, that lie, and putting it in its own little cage and say, you can't live in me. You can't dwell in me. I'll not receive it because I know the truth of God's word. And my God cannot lie. And you, Satan, are the father of every lie. Loved one, listen. If you're not fighting the battle, God's way, with God's truth, with God's power, you're fighting the wrong way. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that we need to be praying one for another. Oh, Lord, because every Christian is in some sort of battle. Every teenager is in some sort of battle. Oh, God, we need to be praying one for another, loving one another, helping one another. We need to believe the word of God. Let us never speak lies about people and act like the devil. Don't let him ever use a believer. Don't ever let any believer's tongue be set upon fire by hell, oh God. Let our tongues be set on fire by the Holy Spirit of God, and who's the Spirit of truth, who leads us into all truth. We've overcome the wicked one. We have completely overcome him because we are in the one who has overcome the world. Oh God, thank you. Oh Lord, even as your word says, it says you are strong, and it tells us why we're strong in your word. It says, for the word of God lives in us, abides in us. And then, Lord, you know what it says? And you have overcome the wicked one. Why? Because the word of God abides in us. Lord, let us be strong in the battle. Let us fight your way. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Touch your people tonight. Keep your people safe, O Lord. Give us discernment from the things that are happening in our land, the horrible divisions that are occurring. Oh God, again, we lift up all of our police officers here, Lord, this week, as we pray every morning for them, Lord, for JT and Leonard and Mark and Sean, Lord, and Josh. We cover them in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that the people at Calvary Chapel, they are safe, they are protected. And Lord, I pray your great blessing upon all of us tonight. We love you, we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let every form of depression, every form, oh God, of whatever weapon the enemy is trying to use, let it be displaced and lifted from all the people. Now, bless them tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you and we praise you. And the church says...